Well, it's good to be with you tonight again, and you've come up. And that's a lovely hymn we were singing, Jesus is Passing By Today. And it's a wonderful thing when Jesus passes by the hearts and lives of men and women, but it's a more wonderful thing when he stops and he calls men and women as individuals to himself, calls them in welcoming salvation, and when men and women open their hearts and lives to the Saviour. For some, he passes continually by, but you know, for others, he only ever passes once. That's all in the sovereignty of God. Now, we're going to read tonight in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Verse 46 to the end, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman, a certain royal official, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and besought him, or begged him, that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, that is, down home, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, at 1 o'clock, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus had said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. May God bless to us the reading of his word. I'm quite sure that this little story will touch a chord in all our hearts tonight, because it's the story of a little boy who was sick. It's the story of an ailing infant, a sick child. And if you've had, or if you have children of your own, then you'll know what it's like. Or if you've ever been in charge of children and they fall ill, you know what it's like. One minute, children can be bouncing about, hale and hearty, and very quickly they can take ill. Very often, again, children, once they receive medication, can bounce back very quickly, even more quickly than adults sometimes. But with this little boy, the situation was serious. The situation was desperate, because he was dying. He was dying. The father must have been distraught. He must have been distraught. Illness is something that affects the whole of humankind. It doesn't matter where we live in the world. There are certain illnesses that are peculiar to the West. There are certain illnesses that are peculiar to the East, the Eastern hot countries, that we don't have here. There are illnesses which affect males as opposed to females, and vice versa, of course. And there are illnesses that the children fall prey to more than adults. And of course, you do get doctors that specialise in certain illnesses. This father, he must have been at his wit's end. He must have been at the point of distraction. We're not told that he sought recourse to doctors. In those days, of course, you had to pay for doctors. And in the first century, 7 out of 10 people were slaves. They didn't have the money for doctors. And very often, when the children were ill, they were just left to die. Very often, they were sent out to beg. Even children that are maimed, in some way today, even in the land of Israel, strangely enough, are put out to beg at the side of the road. Completely different from our society here. But Have you noticed something unusual in the story? There's no sign of a mother. No sign of a mother. The mother is absent. I don't know what has happened to her. She may have died. Many women in those days died in childbirth. And that might have happened to her. It might have been that the parents were separated or divorced, because divorce was rampant in the first century, just as it is today. But in any case, this is a one-parent family. A one-parent family. And I'm quite sure that we're all acquainted with that situation. All our new covenant will have its fair share of one-parent families, and it's a tragedy when that happens. Sometimes mothers are left alone and fathers disappear. Sometimes it's the opposite way. Sometimes it's mothers that go and fathers are left. Well, whatever happened, it was a father that was left here alone to cope with the situation. A sick child. It's a picture of our world. It's a picture of our world. Because our world is sick. Our world is sick. The very atmosphere that we breathe is polluted, isn't it? The rivers are polluted. The air is polluted. But society, the society in which we live in, my dear friends, is a sick society. Every day the mass media bring to us stories of muggers, of wife beaters, of people who are abusing illicit drugs, people who fall into drink. We read every day in the newspapers of child molesters, paedophiles, people that are supposed to be looking after children in orphan homes, and they're being brought 30, 40, 50 years, they're being brought to justice because they cruelly abused the people that they were supposed to be looking after. Yes, our world is sick. Our world is sick. But you know, the sickness that affects us all is the sickness of the human heart. The human heart. Every one of us tonight has fallen prey to this awful disease, and even the good doctor here can't do anything for us because it's a spiritual disease, and no amount of pills will take away our sin. No amount of nursing will nurse us back to spiritual health, because there's something that's gnawing away at the very vitals of our being. And it's dragging us down. And it's taking us further and further away from God. And it's this sinful nature that's within us. Yes. There's this awful disease. This crippling. This spiritually crippling disease. The disease of sin. And you know, many people try to get rid of it, or try to ignore it, or try to live somehow apart from it. But they find they can't, and no matter where they go, no matter what they do, they find that sooner or later, they're faced with their own personal need, their own personal guilt, their own personal sin. But you know, this father, He knew where to go to get the answer to this terrible problem that he had of this sick and ailing child. He knew where to go. He knew who to go to. He knew who to go to. It was a journey about 16 miles he had to go to find Jesus. Now, we're not told how he heard of Jesus. He, in those days, he didn't have a friend who had a mobile phone that could phone him up. And there were no radios or televisions. But word had spread around the country of this amazing man who was doing miracles. And this father decided he would go. he would go to the Lord Jesus. It was a journey of 16 miles, but there were no roads in those days. He didn't have a car. There were no roads. It was, in fact, the countryside, I understand, at that time was so rough. The terrain was so rough that you couldn't even go on horseback. For no doubt he would have a horse or a mule or something like that. He was a wealthy man. But he had to travel. And traveling in those days was dangerous. The Bible itself tells us of instances of people who traveled and they were met with robbers. And they were mugged and half killed for the money they had on them. But it didn't stop this man. This man was desperate. This man was desperate. This man was at an end of himself. He had to do something. He had to find a cure for his son. And you know, my dear friends, if we're really concerned about our circumstances and really concerned about our sins, then we will move heaven and earth to get to the Lord Jesus Christ to help us, because he's the only one who can help us. And he traveled those 16 miles that took him quite a long time to get to the Lord Jesus. And of course, when he got there, there were vast crowds surrounding the Savior. There always were. Vast crowds. It wasn't always easy to beat your way through hundreds and thousands of people. That the Bible tells us of a woman who was sick, and she managed to crawl and just managed to touch the bottom of Jesus' garment, the hem of his garment. She just managed to touch it in the nick of time. Well, he found the vast crowd. Now, the amazing thing was that he didn't tap one of the disciples on the shoulders and say, "Excuse me, could you come and help me?" Because the disciples, Jesus had given the disciples power to heal the sick. He had given them power to do miracles. In fact, he had even given them the power to raise the dead, although there's no actual story of them actually doing that. No, he didn't go to Jesus' disciples. He went right to the Lord himself. Right to the Lord himself. And you know, that's where we must go, my dear friends. That's where we must go. And here he was, quite a wealthy man, possibly quite well born. And he's knocking at the door, as it were, of a lowly carpenter for help, for help. He could have been dissuaded quite easily. He could have been told all these stories that you hear of miraculous healings. They're all a bit far-fetched. They've all been multiplied in the telling. He can't really do the miracles folk think he can do. It's all a bit of an exaggeration, you know. The people managed to get medicine, and just as Jesus got to them, they appeared to be healed. But they would have been healed anyway. That's what the critics would have said, you see. But this man wasn't put off with any stories like that. No, he knew he needed help. And he knew that Christ and Christ alone could help him. And that was true in the first century. It's just as true in your covenant, in your circumstances tonight, my dear friends. Whatever your circumstance is, your greatest need, and it might be the need of health, and it must be terrible to be plagued with illness. It must be dreadful. I'm very fortunate. I've been blessed with amazingly good health up until now. It must be terrible, though, for people who are constantly plagued with illness. And perhaps you don't have good health tonight. Perhaps you feel that's your problem. But the biggest problem that we have is this problem of our spiritual health. Our spiritual health. Far worse than ill health in relation to our bodies. Our need is spiritual. Our need is spiritual. And sad to say, there are many, and they are not making for the Lord Jesus tonight. There are many in our land, and they are turning to mysticism. They are turning to Eastern religions. They are turning to the occult. In their thousands. In their thousands. In fact, I read just in the newspapers just not long ago about it says here that there was one Saturday recently, Scotland's largest ever festival to celebrate Wicca. Wicca is a mystic religion. Wicca is of the devil. They call themselves white witches. The following weekend, if that wasn't bad enough, the following weekend, Glasgow University hosted a two-day conference to discuss the significance of Wicca and to discuss the significance in the film The Wicker Man and the Rise of the Occult. It coincided with the Wicker Man Festival down near Kirkcudbury, said the newspaper writer. And it said that the university was giving it academic status in order to give it credibility. And there are millions of people that are turning to Eastern religions, the devil's religion, and they're going to be sadly disappointed. Because salvation, we're told, neither is there salvation in any other person other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He alone is the Savior. He alone can give hope. He alone can give help. He and He alone can come into our hearts and our lives and cleanse us from our sin and give us what we really need. Freedom from the bondage of the sin that's gripping us. And our land tonight is in the grip. It's in the grip of sin, if there ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's freedom that we need. The freedom that Jesus Christ can bring. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all kinds of sin. No matter what your sin is tonight. No matter what has overtaken you. No matter the sin that's gripping your heart tonight. The Savior can release you. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoners free. Oh, alas and alack, tonight we're prisoners. We're prisoners. Ah, they used to sing the old song, Britain never shall be slaves. And oh, tonight, that was in wartime. Britain tonight, the men and women of Britain, we're slaves. We're slaves to all kinds of sin. Ah, oh, yes. Ah, you see, sin affects people in different ways. It doesn't affect everybody the same way. It affects some people, as I say, it drives into Eastern religions, into mysticism. Sin affects some people's morals, and it makes them immoral. Sin affects some people's minds and it makes them agnostics and it makes them atheists. It affects people in all different ways. But it's still, at the end of the day, it's still known by this awful name, sin. Ah, you see, you never read the word in the newspapers, do you? No. You never hear the television announcers Or the DJs on the radio ever mentioning the word sin. Oh no. You see, society would like to explain it away. The academics would like to explain it away by some sort of psychological means. Well, you see, we're just the victims of the way we've been brought up. We're the victims of whatever society we live in and we can't help it and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, it will all work out. That's what the wiseacres say. But oh, my dear friends, tonight, that's not what God says. Huh? That's not what the Bible says. Yes, our need is spiritual. It's a spiritual need. It's the need of the heart. It's spiritual medication we need. It's the divine physician to heal our hearts and our souls and forgive us our sins that we need. And The man, he makes his plea, he says, come with me. He says, and heal my son. And then you can almost imagine him breaking down, and he tells Jesus, my little boy is dying. My little boy is dying. A heartfelt plea. Hmm? You know, he knew that Jesus could heal him. Could heal his son. He knew the Lord Jesus could help him. What he didn't know was that he didn't have to bring Jesus back to his house to heal his little boy. Maybe he had heard of the Lord Jesus touching people
and healing them, as he did.
Maybe the man had heard of Jesus speaking to people and healing them as he did. But he didn't know that Jesus could heal by remote control.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know Jesus could heal from a distance. But he didn't need to know that. All he needed to know was the Savior could heal and help and save. That was all he needed to know. He didn't need to know anything else. No, my late father didn't grow up in a Christian home. The Orange Order was the religion in his home. His father was the Grand Master of the Orange Lodge. My father, as a young fellow, used to walk in the parades of the Orange Order. And only the second time that he heard the gospel in Coat Bridge, only the second time my father responded to the message of the gospel. He didn't know a thing about the Bible. All he knew that night was, when he heard the preacher, that he needed a Savior. And Jesus Christ died on the cross to save him. And if he came and surrendered his heart and his life and confessed his sin, he would be saved. That was all in those days that my father knew. He didn't know anything else about the Bible. Didn't know Genesis from Revelation. You see, we're not asked, my dear friends, to know. Often people say, if I knew more about the Bible, then maybe I could trust Christ. We're not asked to know anything. Salvation is in a person. It's not in knowledge. It's in a person. Salvation is in Jesus Christ tonight. He knew that the Lord Jesus had power. Power. Power to heal. He has got power to save. That's the tremendous thing, you see. See, we've got no power. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot redeem ourselves. And nobody else can help us. Even the church cannot help us. Even getting baptized cannot help us. Even going in for rituals, religious rituals, cannot help. You see, so many folks have put their faith and their trust in all these kind of things. They thought if they submerged themselves in religion, then somehow or other that would make them better people and eventually lift them up to God. But you see, it's not like that. No. The Savior tonight wants to reach out his hand and he wants to lift us up. Lift us up. And the Savior gave him what he most needed. You know, in the first miracle that Jesus did, making the water into wine, there was no happiness. There was no joy at that wedding. A wedding's a place where, well, if you don't feel happy and joyful at a wedding, you never will feel happy or joyful. But the very first miracle Jesus did, there was a lack of real joy, real happiness. And the Lord Jesus provided the ingredient that would help. In this case, there was no help. And there was no physician to help. And the Lord Jesus came into this man's circumstance. And he provided the spiritual healing that he so needed. That he so needed. And the Lord Jesus said to him, perhaps you think it was a strange thing. Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Why did Jesus say that to him? Well, the answer is back in John chapter 2. And when you go home, read the last few verses in John chapter 2. And it says that when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, you read this. Now listen to this. It says many people believed in his name. And you would think, well, that was good. Surely if they believed in the name of Jesus, they'd be saved. Ah, but it adds this. When they saw the miracles that he did, then it says, Jesus did not commit himself unto these people, because he knew all men. And he knew what was in man. There were people who were willing to believe in Jesus when he was here. When they saw the miracles. But my dear friends tonight, there are people tonight who, if I could claim, could do miracles, they would flock in here. But salvation is not found in the miraculous. It's not found in the miraculous. It's not found in what Jesus did, the miracles that Jesus did. It's to be found in Him alone and in His death and in His sacrifice. There were people that made false professions, but it wasn't true. They were only in it for what they could get out of it. You see? And there are people like that, and they're attracted to religious things only because of what they can get out of it. Ah, no. The Lord Jesus wants us to come tonight and acknowledge our need and our guilt and our sin and ask Him to forgive us, to open our hearts and open our lives. He said to the man, go your way, he says. That's it. Before that, then the nobleman said to him, sir, he said, will you just come before my child dies? And the Lord Jesus knew this man was genuine. I wonder tonight, have I a genuine heart? Have you a genuine heart? Do you genuinely want to get rid of your sin? Do you genuinely want the Saviour? Or do you want some kind of shortcut to happiness? Are you prepared to come the way of the cross? The way of the cross. Now that's it. And Jesus said, go home. Your little boy's alive and well. And he went his way. He went his way. Now that's amazing, isn't it? He only had Jesus' word, and he couldn't phone home and say, is little John, or whatever his name was, is he all right? You see? No, he couldn't do that. But you know, amazingly, he never doubted. He never doubted. Never doubted the word of the Saviour. You see, we must believe, my dear friends. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Trust Him. I don't know whether he had sought help from the doctors of his day or not. The Bible talks of people who did, and alas and alack, despite the physician, they never got any better. And maybe he had been to quack doctors. Plenty of folks have gone to quacks. They've paid a lot of money. They were told, oh, you'll be healed. And they went for months and years and paid all the money to people that weren't properly qualified. This man, he never stopped halfway down the road and scratched his head and sat down on a stone and said, I wonder, is this all just a con? No. He believed. Believe the word of the Saviour tonight. There's an old hymn that says, he's not a disappointment. He's not a disappointment. You think of the disappointments you've had in life. You think of the people you've put your trust in. They've let you down. Maybe you put your trust in a partner. They've left you. Maybe you put money into a business and it's failed. And 1,001 things. And all your hopes have gone to the dust. It's all been a cruel con. You're bitter. You're disappointed. Ah, my dear friends, there's one tonight, and nobody ever came to the Saviour and was disappointed. Nobody. Nobody has ever come in genuine faith and belief and been let down. Imagine someone that will never let you down. You'll never meet them down here. You even let yourself down, don't you? Never mind other folks letting you down. You've let people down. The Saviour has never let anybody down. He's never made a promise he couldn't keep. Isn't that tremendous? And oh, the peace that flooded this man's soul. for the first time, maybe in weeks, he got rest. He got rest. And his little boy got a new life. And the man got new life. New life in Christ. And when he got home, the servants believed. They all got converted. They all got converted. There's a little hymn that, I don't know whether it's in this hymn book or not, that says life, rest, and peace. That's what everybody's looking for. Come now. Isn't it? Am I right? You're looking for real life. You want rest. You want peace in your soul. Life, rest, and peace. The flowers of deathless bloom, says the hymn. The Saviour gives us. Not beyond the tomb. This is not an airy-fairy thing. But, says the hymn, here and now, here and now. Yes, the gospel affects the here and now as well as the hereafter. If it only affected the hereafter, we couldn't put any faith in it. But godliness is profitable for the life that now is, says the Bible. Isn't that wonderful? The life that now is. This can change our lives now, because it can change us. But here and now on earth, some glimpse is given of the joys that wait us through the gates of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, can give to the human heart what every human heart craves. If you crave real love tonight, maybe you've been disappointed in love, Christ can give you the divine love, eternal love, a kind of love that this world can never give. We who are loveless, he can give his love. He can give peace to hearts full of unrest. He can replace the sadness in our hearts with real joy. He can replace the disappointment with real satisfaction. He can give real fulfillment to empty lives. Many people tonight are living empty lives, and they long for something to fill them. But you know, he can give best of all, forgiveness in the place of guilt. There's many people tonight, and they're walking around with a huge burden of guilt. They don't know how to get rid of it. You can only get rid of it at the cross, my dear friends. Ah, this man was a real seeker. A real seeker. Where there's a seeker, there's a Saviour. There's a Saviour. Ah, yes. The difference that the Lord Jesus made in that home was tremendous, wasn't it? The difference he can make tonight in your life, in your home, in your circumstances, is just as real as it was 2,000 years ago. Will you come tonight in simple faith, just as this man came? Come and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, forgive my sins, and save my soul, now and forever. We're going to sing a verse of a hymn, and it's 581, and it says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give, I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, now I feel the sacred flame, oh, the joy of full salvation, glory to his name. We'll sing this hymn 581, the first and last verse of the chorus. Before we sing it, we'll pray together, and we'll ask the Lord to come into our hearts and our lives and give us what we really so desperately need. Let us pray. Our Father, we give thanks tonight for a great Saviour. We give thanks tonight for a great salvation. We ask if there be someone in our meeting tonight that they will find in the Saviour just what they're looking for. The disappointments and heartaches of life will go. That they'll rest their all to the saving of their soul in the only one who can help and save them. Bless us now, Father, we pray, for we ask it all in the Saviour's precious name. Amen.